The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, nice to have a few extra minutes because there's always so much to talk
Absolutely.
About. And we are heading into the Maccabi Games next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really exciting time for us. It's been 5 years of waiting. Of course, Maccabi Games is officially every 4 years.
Look, Anthony, I do have to declare that I find the whole thing so humorous. Jews playing sport, and then they come from all around the world, and they compete against each other because if they have to compete against anybody else, they're going to lose. So I just find the whole thing really quite humorous. I mean, I love the idea of the Maccabi Games, but I do find it hard to take seriously.
Well, I think some of your cynicism is misplaced. And the reason that I say that is because I think that Jews are doing better and better all the time at sport.
Shame, man. With special needs, Anthony.
I refer particularly to my comments at the beginning of this week about the Israeli under-19 football team who were runners-up in the EuroLeague. That's not an insignificant achievement.
We were all shocked.
Well, we were surprised, Howard, but it doesn't matter because the achievement is there.
I'm being deliberately obtuse.
So many fantastic sports people who have come through the Maccabi Games and who have gone on to achieve amazing things on the world stage. I hear what you're saying, and I can't entirely disagree with you, but I think that the importance of the Maccabi Games as a social event cannot be underestimated. First of all, let's start with the fact that it's the third largest sporting event in the world after the Olympic Games and after the FIFA World Cup. 10,000 Jewish sports people will come together next week, along with coaches and support teams and family members and supporters. And there will be an amazing get-together, and it's so nice to have it here in Israel, where we have officially every 4 years. Of course, we waited 5 years on this occasion, but officially every 4 years for the Maccabi Games to come. And Israelis are really excited about welcoming people to Israel. And the fact that it happens to be around a sporting event is perhaps a little bit aside from the main topic of conversation, because it's really all about just getting together and drawing people from 85 countries around the world. People will come for this particular event. So it's nice to have an event that you can center all the attention. A lot of people have really gone to a lot of trouble, done a lot of training, taken their sport very, very seriously. And so not everybody's coming only for the social event. There is a very, very significant competitive sporting aspect to it. I think that we should first of all recognize the amazing sporting achievements by those people who've been training so hard and will come here and compete. But I think that the social side and getting together, meeting Jews from other countries.
Definitely I could get behind.
It's just an amazing event. And for those people who haven't had the opportunity to be in Israel during the Maccabi Games, it's definitely one of those things that you do want to do. And we are really excited that finally we're back. The Maccabi Games will start next week. We will, of course, have the opening ceremony and the closing ceremony. And it will just be an opportunity for people to get together, to compete, but most importantly, a social event. So I'm excited about the fact that the Maccabi Games is
Absolutely.
Back. And for people who are out there listening and who are on their way to Israel, either as competitors or as support teams or as just as fans and supporters, you are all very welcome, and we are looking forward to the games beginning next week.
Mark says, Howard, when it comes to Jews and sports, speak for yourself. Mark, that's rude. I played paddle the other night. I definitely did. I wasn't embarrassing, although what happened was there were four of us playing. One of the guys, unfortunately, now is in a moon boot because he tore his calf muscle. The other one actually can barely walk because he pulled his back out. So we're definitely not as young as sporty as we used to be. But either way, no, I'm obviously only being a little bit facetious. Jewish is having fun. I mean, to me, it's really no difference to a Jewish DIY competition, you know, but maybe that's just my own perception. I do think it's awesome and it's wonderful. And the fact that people are coming from all around the world to participate in it is incredible. And you mustn't take me, I mean, if you start taking me seriously now, wow. That would be definitely be a problem. Defense Minister Benny Gantz has revealed that Israel has been tracking unusual Iranian activity in the Red Sea in recent months. Tell us about this.
So Benny Gantz has been in Greece at the annual Economist Government Roundtable, which is happening, as I said, in Greece. And he disclosed to the group in Greece that Iran has expanded its what he calls aggressive operations in the region in general, and in particular from a naval perspective. The Iranian Navy has been very, very active in the southern part of the Red Sea, patrolling with its military ships. And the extent of the detail that he was willing to disclose just gives some sort of a small indication of how closely Israeli intelligence has been tracking the work that's going on by the Iranian military, and in particular, in this case, by the Iranian Navy. Apparently, they've been very, very active in the Red Sea. And apparently, according to the interpretation by Israeli intelligence, this is really all about posing a threat to trade, to energy, and in general to the global economy. The Red Sea, of course, being a very, very critical waterway which leads up towards the Suez Canal, a critical crossing point between East and West, and Iran apparently very, very active in that area. Now, I mean, that comes on the back of a number of different other things that have been going on which are not necessarily directly related to this disclosure by Benny Gantz. And by the way, on the side of that meeting in Greece, he also held a meeting of defense ministers of Greece and Cyprus. So Israel, Greece and Cyprus getting together on the side of the Economist meeting in order to talk about things of a common interest to the security in our particular part of the Mediterranean basin. But other things that have been happening around Iran, first of all, we've heard about some arrests that have been happening in Iran of international diplomats, foreign country diplomats, who there are reports that some of them were arrested for spying. There were some also reports saying that that report was not correct, but certainly some activity going in Iran around there. Interestingly, also activity in Lebanon, and particularly relating to the drone activity offshore of Lebanon, offshore of Israel. We heard that Israel intercepted three drones at the start of this week that were headed towards what's called now Israeli economic waters. We have territorial waters, and I see in the press now they're talking about Israeli economic waters, which I assume refers to the area where all that gas is being extracted. And so not only were those drones intercepted earlier this week, but apparently there was also a drone that was already intercepted last week that wasn't disclosed by the IDF, but has become known, has been made known by Hezbollah. And of course, the IDF has acknowledged that that indeed did happen. Also, and just aside from that, the Lebanese president, Michel Aoun, came out making a statement that he feels that there is a solution to this the lack of agreement around where the maritime border should fall between Israel and Lebanon. He's come out making a statement saying that there is a solution, that there is a way, that they will find a way of dealing with this through the American mediators who are dealing with this. But he's become very conciliatory in his statements as opposed to the statements that were made by Hezbollah. So all of this is really linked to Iranian activity. And we need to look at all of this as in the context of how it's being linked to Iran. So once again, so much focus on Iran, what Iran is up to, and all the strange activities that seem to be trying to threaten the general balance of trade, the general balance of relations between countries in the Western world and Iran, and potentially amongst themselves, because I think that Iran is also trying to drive a wedge between, let's say, Russia and China on the eastern side with the Western countries, and trying to create more tension than already potentially exists. all in the interest of trying to pursue their own agenda. So this activity in the Red Sea has now been disclosed by Benny Gantz, and of course gives us an indication of how closely Israel has been monitoring this.
Mm. And also, again, as we keep saying, it just keeps moving closer and closer towards, I think, an inevitable military conflict.
Well, yes, I agree with that, although it's very, very difficult for me to imagine that this military conflict is going to be sort of in the open, that we're suddenly going to hear about, I don't know, Israeli or American planes over the skies of Tehran or bombing nuclear facilities from the air, all out in the open, all exposed. I just don't imagine that situation arising. I think it's all going to be subterfuge. I think it's all going to be below the surface. I think that we're going to continue to see all of these strange events that we talk about in the Iran check your mezuzahs little snippet that we talk about. I think we're going to see a lot more of that, some cyber activity, some under quiet things going on, people are being taken out who might be critical to the regime, strange explosions, strange things being destroyed, which might be critical to the nuclear program. It's very, very difficult for me to imagine open warfare with Iran.
A Syrian militant was allegedly killed by an Israeli drone. What is known about this?
Well, this again is a very interesting story, because there were some reports about this particular militant who apparently is quite closely affiliated with the Syrian military, and in particular with Hezbollah, someone who is active in the Quneitra area, which is right on the Israeli border with Syria, and who apparently, according to some reports that I've read, has actually been warned by Israel before not to continue that activity that he has been doing in that Quneitra area right on the Israeli border, representing Hezbollah, and of course, as a representative of the Syrian regime. And yet, in spite of those initial warnings that were directed towards that individual, so this is somebody actually getting in touch with him, either sending a message or communicating with him to say, you are advised not to continue to do this because you might be in danger. So there's been direct communication with them. In spite of all of that, he continued that activity. And ultimately, apparently, there was a strike that was carried out by an armed drone that literally just sent a missile, and the militant in question was killed. A man by the name of Farid Fuad Mustafa. He was apparently near his home when this guided missile was fired towards him from a drone that was over the Israeli part of the Golan Heights. And he is considered to have been one of the most prominent figures in the Assad regime in that particular area near to Quneitra. Now, this is a very, very targeted attack, obviously very successful in the way that it was carried out. I imagine that his representation of Hezbollah and of the Syrian regime in that area is not the main reason why he was taken out, but that, of course, he probably presented some level of significant threat to the security of Israel, to that border area, and that Israel considered it sufficiently important for him to be taken out. There's been no comment on the Israeli side as to whether that, in fact, was something that was carried out by Israel or not, but all indications seem to suggest that this is something that was very much some IDF activity towards an individual who, as we understand it, must have posed a significant threat to Israel and to Israel's security in that area. So once again, an activity which we haven't really seen before. Mm. It's not one of those things that we've spoken about before, but Israel, once again, on top of the intelligence and taking action where action is needed in order to preempt what might be a dangerous situation for them.
Well, on the same lines, Israeli security have arrested a man who carried out a terror attack in central Israel yesterday. What happened?
So this was just an isolated attack that was carried out in the area of Givat Shmuel, which is on the border of the Israeli religious neighborhood of Bnei Brak, for people who have visited Israel and have driven along road number 4, Kvish Geha, you might remember seeing the Coca-Cola factory, which is right where Givat Shmuel is, near to Bar Ilan University. And we understand that this individual, that a man who every morning walked from his home in Bnei Brak to Givat Shmuel, where he was a teacher at a yeshiva, was attacked. It was 5:30 in the morning. It was an isolated attack. It's not clear whether the person who attacked him on the basis of just an opportunistic thing, that they just happened to be in the same place at the same time and he decided to attack him, or whether he actually set out in the morning intending to attack somebody. Carrying it out at 5:30 in the morning seems a slightly strange sort of time of the day to carry out an attack, but apparently the Haredi man who was on his way to the yeshiva was stabbed in the head by this terrorist, who then escaped the area and apparently before escaping saw a passerby and said to the passerby, "Oh, there is a Jew who has been injured over there. Call the emergency services," which is, again, a kind of a strange thing to happen. The emergency services came along. The injured man was initially not in a good situation, but apparently he is recovering from his wounds. And in the meantime, the Israeli security have managed to track down the individual who carried out this attack. He's been arrested. He's been handed over to the Shabak for questioning to try to understand what his motivation was and how things went down with this particular attack. It's not a type of a terror attack that you usually see in terms of people trying to do mass damage. This was a very, very isolated, early in the morning, directed at one individual type of attack. It almost looks opportunistic rather than carried out with initial intention. Fortunately, the injured man is recovering from his wounds, and fortunately the individual who carried out the attack has been arrested, and of course the Israeli security are closely on top of all of that.
Absolutely, absolutely amazing. And before we let you go, let's end with a positive story, and it's a positive sports story, disproving, of course, what I was saying earlier. A cyclist in the Israeli team has won a stage of the Tour de France for the very first time.
Yes, so not a Jewish cyclist. Let's start with that, Howard, because just to go back
and there I was ready to accept defeat in this.
But you are not entirely a winner, because it is an Israeli team. The Israeli team is called Israel Premier Tech. They are a team that are participating in this year's Tour de France, as they did last year, under a slightly different name, but nonetheless still the same team. And this is a team that's been put together of some high-profile, very, very good, high-quality cyclists who've been brought together under the banner of the Israeli flag, with the intention of helping to develop Israeli cyclists. So amongst the team, who include Simon Clark, who was the winner of the fifth stage yesterday of the Tour de France, and along with Chris Froome, who is, of course, a very, very well-known cyclist, having won many accolades in his past. He is now cycling for Israel Premier Tech team. Along with them are a few Israeli cyclists who are learning the ropes, who are being helped by the more professional, the ones with greater experience. And for the very, very first time, Australian Simon Clark, a member of Israel Premier Tech, won the Tour de France. It was by a short head. It was a sprint to the finish line. Simon Clark was the winner, ultimately, of that stage. And for the very first time, an Israeli team took the line. So that is really exciting, even though he's not a Jewish cyclist. But there will be a moment when we will be able to celebrate also Jewish cyclists who are coming up through the ranks. Sylvain Adams, who has put the Israeli team together, has also invested tremendous amounts in Israeli cycling in general, with a massive velodrome in Tel Aviv, and helped really to encourage youngsters at grassroots level, to encourage them to become better cyclists. And I'm sure that this will also encourage them even further to take part and to be better at what they do.
Absolutely right. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll of course catch you at 7:45 on Monday morning.